after the night of Slichos, to be part of a program that brings thousands of people together to study Torah together, to study Torah together and to prepare for Yom Tov together at this time. And it's we should all be grateful to the OU leadership for bringing this program to us and for bringing so many people together. What a great zechus it is to be part of a group studying a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah at this time of year. I'm grateful to my mechutanim, not only for being wonderful mechutanim, but for sponsoring this year. And Bezer Hashem, in this and all the other great zechuyos that you have, sheyimalu mishalos libchem letova. The first idea that I'd like to discuss together with you and really sets the tone for our shir together this morning is that when we begin our davening on throughout Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and we begin the additional parts to Rosh Hashanah, so the first thing we come across is Uvachein, right? Uvachein tein pachtecha. We ask the Rabboni Shel Olam to increase and instill his awe amongst all peoples. Uvachein tzadikim yiruvi yismachu. We pray that the Rabboni Shel Olam should give all the righteous so much reason to rejoice. Uvachein tein kovod. Kadosh Baruch Hu should increase the respect and the position of the Jewish people. But the word uvachein seems entirely unnecessary. Uvachein is translated by Rashi as oz, then. And if we wouldn't have the word uvachein, we could read and daven perfectly well. Tein pachtecha, tein kavod, yiru atzadikim v'yiro v'yismachu. So the word uvachein and all the machzorim, it sticks out because of the large font that it has to draw our attention that we're now saying something that we otherwise wouldn't say. And there's a remarkable comment by the Avud Raham. The Avud Raham was the first to author a running commentary on the Siddur and on davening and on the Minhagi Yisrael that are attendant in the davening. And the Avud Raham points out that the word uvachein appears twice, only twice in all of Tanakh. And he directs us to the uvachein that we are more familiar with. And that's the uvachein of Esther Malka. Uvachein avo el ha-melech shelo kedos. Esther and Mordechai discuss how we're going to proceed when the Jews are in such dire straits. And Mordechai is concerned that Esther is not going to go forward. Mordechai says to Esther, Umiyodas imla eis kozos. Perhaps this is the reason that you're in your present position. Esther reminds Mordechai that going to the king uninvited risks the danger of death and the entire jeopardizing the entire project. So Esther says to Mordechai, we'll have to do the following. We'll have to have Klal Yisrael fast, and they will daven. Uvachein avo al ha-melech asher lo kedos, and then I'll take my chances. And I'll come to Achashverosh uninvited and against all protocol. And the Gro explains, the Vilna Gaon explains this comment to the Avud Raham. The Vilna Gaon explains that that is how every Jew feels and certainly should feel when we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Rosh Hashanah. That every Jew reminds ourselves of Esther's position. The Vilna Gaon writes and describes what we all feel, whether it's Kol Nidrei Night, or whether it's the first night of Rosh Hashanah, or whether it's Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, that with all of the preparations, with all of the study, with all of the Shofars of Elul, and hopefully with the moments of introspection of Elul, we're not really ready to come to the Rabbonu Shalom and present ourselves in the Yom HaDin. And it's only because Umi Yadas and Leiz Kazos, it's only because now it is Rosh Hashanah, and now it is the Yom HaDin, and now we have to recall to the Rabbonu Shalom, that we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we did the equivalent of fasting and we davened and we said slichos, but nevertheless, ubechein, avo al ha-melech ha-shalo kedos, we're not really ready. And the Vilna Gaon says to remind every Jew of how we're supposed to have our orientation and of the privilege that we have to come to the Rabbonu Shalom, to come to the Rabbonu Shalom Shalo Kedos without appropriate protocol. That's why we remind ourselves of Ubechein. That's where our mind is supposed to go. When we say Ubechein Tein Pachtecha, Ubechein Tein Kovun. Title of this morning's shiur is The Missing Pages of the Machzer. My Balabatim get very nervous when I title a shiur The Missing Pages of the Machzer. They have a good reason to be nervous, because when I first came to the shul, I presented the position of Rabbi Soloveitchik that on Yom Kippur we should say Slichos, Shachris, and Mincha, and Musaf. And we introduced the Slichos, and God has a special grace for the young and unwise rabbi who does things like that, and my Balabatim ever since have the great zuchus of following their rabbi's lead against their better judgment. We have a little bit of a longer davening in Yom Kippur as a result. We have the great opportunity to, as a result, our break is much smaller. So they have much reason to be concerned if I give a shiur the missing pages of the Machzer. A few years ago, one of my Balabatim came to me and said that we don't say any Yotzros. We don't say Yotzros on Shabbos Parshas Parah, Shabbos Parshas Zohar. And one of the Rosh Yeshiva in America pointed out that the Yotzros of Parshas Shkolim are a school for Parnasa. So maybe we should say and introduce into the shul the Yotzros of Parshas Shkolim. So I explained to him that I don't know much about skulos, but I know that if I would introduce the Yotzros of Shkolim in our shul, it would not be good for my parnasa. Today I want to focus on what's missing in the Rosh Hashanah Machzer, because as the Ubechein reminds us, we're not really ready. We're never really ready for Yom HaDin with the Rabbonu Shalom. And from our youngest years, we think of Rosh Hashanah as the Yom HaDin, as the day that determines, Be'ez Hashem, the many, many blessings that we'll all have for the upcoming year. We're only asked to think back at the many decisions that were made, Rosh Hashanah, Tov Shinai, and Tes, to keep our davening focused and on task. But nevertheless, when you run through the Machzer, the Yom HaDin is mentioned, Lekel Orech Din, one Payet. The Yom HaDin is mentioned in the Nesana Tokef. But where do we really have a chance in the Yom Kippur, in the Rosh Hashanah Machzer, to turn to the Rabbonu Shalom and open our hearts and express to a Kodesh Baruch Hu what's on our mind? To express to a Kodesh Baruch Hu the many Mish'alos Libeinu that we want to present in the Yom HaDin. And it's not there. It's not in the machzor. In fact, there was a running debate which began in the time of the Ari HaKadosh, in the time of the Vilna Gaon. And that running debate is found in almost every shul to this day. And that's exactly what is the mood, what's the consistent mood of Rosh Hashanah. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, is quoted as saying, a much debated comment, that one should not cry in Rosh Hashanah. And the Ari HaKadosh is quoted as saying that if a Jew doesn't cry in Rosh Hashanah, then it must be something terribly inappropriate about the heart of that Jew. The Vilna Gaon is defended by Rav Chaim Volozhiner, his Talmud, to say Rosh Hashanah, we're worried about the Rabbonu Shel Olam's covenant. We're worried about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. We look around and see that God and His mission is not getting the respect. It's not getting the practice and experience that it should have. So the Chaim Volozhiner said it's inappropriate on Rosh Hashanah for a Jew to worry about himself and his own parnas and his own children and his own health and his family's health. There's something so much greater that a Jew should be focused on. And to focus on my own personal needs when we're worried about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, doesn't that diminish our appreciation of what's really important for the world and for L'Sakein Olam B'Malchus Shakai? On the same page that Rav Chaim Volozhiner's positions are presented in the Sidur Agra, particular Sidur Agra, Yitzchak Kolatzkin, I believe, is who put these pages together, records Rabbi Yisroel Salanter, his response to this passage from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Yisroel Salanter essentially says that if a person is not on that high, lofty madrega, that high, lofty state that Rav Chaim Volozhiner would want us all to be on, and on Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't or she doesn't open her heart, l'mish alosli bein, that's what's on our minds. Says we should also learn that the davening is a phony davening. And if a person tries and he's not on the level where all of his thoughts about Malchus Hashem and Yisroel Salanter is addressing himself and all of us, and he doesn't turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and ask for what he needs, so then the davening is not really a human being talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. U'mi yodeyim le'ez kazos. Because if we have a moment of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's ear in Rosh Hashanah, and it's the Yom Adin, how could we not ask and take advantage? Uvachein avo al ha-melech ha-shalom kedos, even if we're missing all appropriate protocol. I often think that that's why we do parts of our davening that are against protocol. The very beginning of Shemon Esrei, from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, we say, Zachreinu, God remember us, Zachreinu l'chaim. We're not supposed to ask for anything in the first three blessings of the Shemona Esrei. It's against the rules. Any other time during the year, it would be considered to be an interruption. Might even require review. We break protocol. Because Ubechein Avo El Melech Hashalom Kedos. Because as the Chazon Ish points out, and in my mind, really settles that debate between Rav Chaim and Yisroel Salanter. I say it's a debate in almost every shul, because almost every shul that I'm aware of, runs the debate between whether there should be more singing in the davening Yom Ne'rom or more nusach. Should there be happy, cheerful dancing moments, which is the move and the mood of in the last several decades? Or should we have a davening that resembles the davening of the last century and earlier, which is nusach, and which is often a poignant, pleaful davening? It's the debate that many communities ran last night during Slichos. Are these days that we celebrate the Malchus? Are these days of the Vilna Gaon that crying is not the way to go? Or is it Yisroel Salanter? I think that it's good for Klal Yisroel to, and we'll see in a moment how it shows up in the Machzer, to have this interplay. But in terms of Halacha L'Maaseh, does one ask for personal requests in Rosh Hashanah? Several years ago, a close student of the Stipler, one of the Gedolei Yisrael of the previous century, recorded the practices of the Stipler. And he records in Rosh Hashanah that the Stipler would quote the Chazon Ish as saying, of course, a Jew asks for what he needs in Rosh Hashanah. And at the end of davening, when you've, during your Shmon Esrei, right before the Yule Rotzam, that's when a Jew stops. And that's the place in davening, like in any day, in any davening, right before the Yule Rotzam, either in Shema Koleinu, Yule Rotzam, a Jew talks to Rabboni Shlolem. One-on-one. And the Chazon Ish says, Im lo yachshav ein masai. If we're not going to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam in Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Adin, so when is the appropriate time to ask him our needs? The entire laning of Rosh Hashanah, the Kriyas HaTorah Rosh Hashanah, is unusually different than any other Yom Tov. Every other Yom Tov, the laning focuses on some passage in Chumash that discusses that laning. Rosh Hashanah, it's about Tzarei Meinu. Haftorah, about Chana. Chazal explain, Shabbo Nifkida, Sora, Rivka, Rachel, Machana. Because of Rosh Hashanah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to their prayers, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided they'd have children. So if our entire laning is to remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to our davening and Rosh Hashanah, then of course we should adopt the position of the Chazon Ish and use the day, the time to present our needs, Mish'alos Libeinu, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But why is it missing from the Machzer? Why do you have to sort of scrape around to find the Lekel Erech Din? Why do you have to find the place? So I want to share with you a passage which for me was a game changer in my own davening. Once heard when I was a youngster, and I don't know if I heard this from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky personally, or if it was quoted to me. And someone would ask Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky why Klal Yisrael doesn't have a book of philosophy from the times of the Gemara, from Chazal. Gave us Mishnah, gave us Gemara. So Rabbi Yaakov responded, the Siddur is the book of philosophy of Klal Yisrael. It's a one-liner from one of our greatest minds and greatest hearts. And I've often come back to revisit that one line because it just opens up the way that we look at the Machzer and look at the Siddur. I remember when the Rav told us that there was a young boy who would come into his grandfather, Reb Chaim, on these days before Yomim Neirom, and he would see how is Reb Chaim preparing for Yom Tov. And he recalls Reb Chaim sitting on the couch and in his mind going through the Machzor. He knew the Machzor Baal Peh. He knew the psukim of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars by heart, by rote. And in his mind, he was reviewing pasuk by pasuk. The Rav said, because if we want to appreciate the sanctity, the spirituality of any day, he said, it's found in the Machzor. So we have something missing in our Machzor Rosh Hashanah. And sometimes from what's not there, we can also understand its depth. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, again, it's a Gemara that I believe sheds light into our approach. And I will interpret the Gemara in accordance with Rav Chaim Friedlander, who was the Mashkiach in Ponovich for many years, the Mashkiach in Azata for many years. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Neimah Omra Torah, he says four statements. Statement number one, why didn't the Torah ask us to bring an offering of barley to the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach? Answer, Omra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Haviu Lefanai Omer BaPesach, bring to me an offering of barley, and I will bless the produce in the fields. Statement number two, why are we supposed to bring a wheat offering on Shavuos? Answer, the wheat plant used to be a tree, according to many. In Gan Eden, it was a tree. It was the Eitz Hadas. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, so bring this wheat offering so I can bless the fruits of the trees. Pesach is when we're being judged how the wheat is going to do. Shavuos, we're being judged how the fruit trees are going to do. Statement number three, on Sukkot, why do we bring water to the Beis HaMikdash? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eviu Lefonai, bring water to the Beis HaMikdash. Because on Sukkot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging how the water will do. How much water will have, how it will come. Bring water, Kedesh Tizbarech, so I can bless the water when I judge you on water. Statement number four. Uvneima Omer Torah, Omeru Lefonai, Rosh Hashanah. And repeat in front of me in Rosh Hashanah, Malchus, Zichronos, Vishofros. Malchus, passages describing God's sovereignty. Zichronos, passages describing God judging us. Shofros, passages of the sounding of the shofar. Why? Kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, so that you will announce my sovereignty over you. And then I'll remember you for the good. How do we understand these four statements of Rabbi Akiva? What are the first three saying? I'm judging you on water, bring water to Beis HaMikdash. I'm judging you on fruit, bring fruit to Beis HaMikdash. I'm judging you on wheat. So Chaim Friedlander connects the dots and he says, the best prayer we can have to the Rabbonu Shel Olam is that we'll use your water to serve you. If we have water, then we will make our avodas Hashem so much more enhanced. We will thank you for the water. We will recognize that you're providing for us gishmeichem be'itam, the rains at the right time. We'll recognize that you're providing for us the rains in a safe way. We'll use your water to nourish the weak and to provide for those who come our way. And we'll use your water to help us in the morning daven with freshness and learn with a keen sense. You want me to bless your fruit? Well, we'll bring the fruit to Beis HaMikdash. And we'll say to the Rabboni Shalom, we can serve you with the fruit. Our avodas Hashem will be enhanced. So any fruit that you provide for us is going to be, we will recognize it comes from you. We'll understand you're providing for us. We'll understand the responsibilities of this blessing. So now Rav Chaim Friedlander says, so now let's read the next line. We're being judged. It's Rosh Hashanah. Imru lefonai malchias, kedei shetamlichuni aleichem. Chaim Friedlander says, so let's connect the dots in the same way. Best way for a Jew to ask, best way for a Jew to present himself or herself when we are being judged, to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever blessings you give us, Talmichuni Aleichem, I recognize it comes from your malchus, from your sovereignty. Whatever happens to us. And when the Rabbon Shem, you provide me with great health, Talmichuni Aleichem, I'll know the health comes from you, and I know it comes with responsibilities. And when you provide me with joyous occasions, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'll recognize those joyous occasions come from you. Alas Yerushalayim al Reish Simchasi, and I'll think about the joyous occasion of your coming back to our people and bringing our people back. And of course, during those joyous occasions, I will recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu, what you're doing for my family and for myself. And of course, I'll appreciate the great responsibilities. Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you bless me with prosperity, Tamlichuni Aleichem, I'll recognize that prosperity comes from you, Rabboni Shalom. It comes with responsibility, and it'll be the greatest source of Avodas Hashem. So explains Rabbi Chaim Friedlander that on Rosh Hashanah, we do say Lekel Oirech Din, and we think about the Yom HaDin. I remember as a child, we were still blessed to have European Balei Tefillah. That great generation that suffered beyond description, but were able to stand and lead at Sibra Yom Neiram. It was, when you think about it, it's a good thing we didn't think about it so deeply then. But the Balei Tefillah, when did they weep like children? Lekel Oirech Din. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Miloch, they were composed. Uvachein, they were composed. Unesana Tokef. Then we would weep like children, we'd hear them. And Lekel Oirech Din. But otherwise, we're announcing a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. Otherwise, it's Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch. Otherwise, it's V'chol Ma'aminim. All of the piyutim. Almost all the piyutim. Mi v'shachak yarach. Malachim announcing God's sovereignty. Explains Rav Chaim Friedlander, but that's the Jew saying, Tamlichuni Aleichem. That's Rabbi Kiva's advice to us. That if the more we announce a Kadosh Baruch Hu's sovereignty, the more we recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives, the more we're saying that we're bringing all of the good and prosperity will ultimately make us and give us greater recognition of your presence. Chaim Volozhiner was a person that to this day, we are the great beneficiaries of Chaim Volozhiner. He was one of the personalities that changed the course of Klal Yisrael. That the Hasidic community and that the Lithuanian community enrich each other with their different appreciations. Reb Chaim Volozhiner. That the Hasidic community became more focused on learning and the Lithuanian community became more appreciative of the warmth and the heart of Torah. Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He brought us together. He taught Jews how to appreciate each other and enrich each other from disparate places. Chaim Volozhiner was created the our entire yeshiva system. Till Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the stipend for a person studying Torah was they would go from home to home, have lunch and supper. Chaim Volozhiner said that the enterprise of the study of Torah cannot be diminished by sending its boys out and making them feel so dependent every single mealtime. He raised the spirit of those who study Torah and essentially created the concept of a yeshiva. Chaim Volozhiner was a man of great compassion. One of his star students, and we know this from the writings of this student. We know exactly where he wrote it down. He wrote it down on the column of his Rajbo. He wrote, ah, this is my name. I think his name was Rav Meir. He says, I was a prize student of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He sent me to a town, I think it was in outskirts of Vilna, to become a Rav. And he writes, and I did very well. And I upset my colleagues because I did so well. And they began to try to undermine my authority. Rav Chaim Volozhiner became aware of that. So he moved to this town for 2 months. And he would go to every single class that this rabbi was giving. And he would do it in a very public way. He would wear his talus and his tefillin. They should know this is Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And then he would raise questions that he knew his Talmud could answer. So his Talmud would spar with Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And after 2 months, his student was in a good place. And he went back to Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner points out that if one understands the Rosh Hashanah davening in this way, then one really appreciates the way that we daven every single day. That much like Pesach is the day when we think about Yetzias Mitzrayim in great depth, and then we mention it day by day, Rosh Hashanah gives us the insight in how we can best daven, and every single day we take that lesson with us. Because if you think about every single request we make of the Rabbonu Shalom, every single Shemoneh Esrei, Rafeinu Hashem v'nei Rafei, send us, please, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, cure those who are ill. Ki sehilaseinu ata, because you are our praise. Thank the Rabbonu Shalom. Send us a refuah. We know it comes from you. We will forever praise you for that refuah. We will forever appreciate the malchus of the Rabbonu Shalom that's being expressed by that refuah. Shema Keleinu, we have the breadth of requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the all different sorts of yesurin and suffering that people have. We say, Kikel Shemeya Tefila Ota. Because please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we're able to see how you're responding to our davening, it's not going to be our wisdom. It's not going to be our good fortune. Kikel Shemeya, we will know, and we will forever say, Rabbonu Shalom, you're a great listener, and you helped me out. And I will announce your malchus. I'll announce your malchus, whether it's a Surah Sayyidoya. I'll announce your malchus, whether it's in my modem, b'chol niflo secha. I'll announce your malchus in my conversations. Every single davening, every single bracha, when we mention the Kadosh Baruch Hu's qualities, we're saying the Ribbono Shel Olam, we would love to be able to recognize and share and announce. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. The best way that we can come to the Yom HaDin, of course, we follow the Chazanishes. The Chazanishes mandate the time to explicitly turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course, we follow Yisrael Salanter, who explained to us that if the davening is genuine, then it's a davening of Bechein Avo El HaMelech HaShalom Kedos. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity. We may not have the merits of the protocol, but the need is too great. And sometimes you surrender too much to worry about protocol. We come to Kadosh Baruch Hu by saying that we can rejoice in your Malchus. Even in the Rosh Hashanah, we can stop our davening for a few moments and lift our hearts up and take great joy in your Malchus. But it's all in the greater context. The more that we recognize your involvement in our lives, Rabbeinu Shlomo, understand where all of our prayers are ultimately going, where our requests will ultimately lead us. I want to finish off with a remarkable story that I shared with my Balabatim 2 weeks ago. It's a story that's recorded in the drushes of Rab Reuven Karelenstein, who was one of the great Darshonim of Klal Yisrael in Israel, student of Shredron. And it also was recorded recently in a podcast by Rav Melech Biederman, great Mashbi in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to present the best of both presentations. And it's a story that is recorded by the Rav of Krakow, the Megala Mukos. That's how he was known. Megala Mukos was one of the chief rabbis of Krakow. And we don't know why, but he decided to leave Krakow. And the Jews were very upset. And they tried to prevail upon him unsuccessfully. And a few days before he was about to leave, he changed direction. And to the great delight of the Jews of his town, he announced he'll be staying. He never explained to us why he had to leave. He did explain to us why he stayed. He stayed because two Jews came. There was an older Jew who was did not look as a person who was well kept, a person who obviously lived very sparingly, a very difficult life. And there was a younger Jew, appeared to be a Jew of significant means. And they came to the Rav and they said, "We need some time with you." And the older Jew said, "I need to ask whether I can be released from a commitment that I made." What was the commitment? So he explained that he made his parnasa by selling bagels. He would pick up a load of bagels every morning, and over the course of the day, he would sell off bagel by bagel. But the way that you sell bagels is by screaming almost incessantly, "Bagela, bagela, bagela." Oh, this young Jew moved in apparently the neighborhood. Apparently, he had trouble getting a day's work done because outside his window, there was an old man screaming, "Bagela, bagela, bagela." And it didn't take him a long time to realize that there was a flow and then a cadence. He would be screaming, "Bagela, bagela, bagela," for about 10 minutes and stop for 5 minutes. Then again, 10 minutes, "Bagela," and stop for 5 minutes. So as he was observing this person, because he couldn't get any work done, he realized that he was screaming, Begale, Begale, until somebody actually came by and looked at his bagels. And then he would have to interest this person in one of his bagels. Perhaps he had to slice it and wrap it, whatever, and they would give it. In the moment this person traveled away, he began once again screaming, Begale, Begale, Begale. So at the end of the day, this young Jew goes over to the older man and says, tell me, at the end of the day, if you sell off all of your bagels, how much do you walk home with? So he said, I walk home on a good day, finish everything. Five, I don't know, 5 rubles, 5 kopecks, I don't know. I'll tell you what, stop selling bagels. Go to the local Beis HaMedrash. Learn the entire day. Finish this entire Sefer, the entire book of Tehillim the entire day. And I will pay you 5 rubles. Man said, this is Gan Eden in this world. I don't have to go in the middle of the night to get the bagels. I don't have to schlep them. I have to spend my entire day screaming. I don't have to worry if I'll finish selling my wares of the course of the day. And I get a full day salary. And so it was. He went to the Beis HaMedrash. He finished his Sefer of Tehillim. He learned a little bit. Went to the office of his new benefactor. Picked up his 5 rubles and went home. And he says to the Krakover Rav, the Megala Mukais, I want out of my deal. I want to go back and sell bagels. The Krakover Rav thought he had lost his mind. He said, why on earth would you want to give this up? He says, Rav, I'll explain to you. When I was selling my bagels, so for 10 minutes straight, I was screaming, Baigala, 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 and in my heart I was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, one of these people is walking by, please stop him. Have one person listen to me and come by and look at my bagels. And then he came. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let him buy one of them. And then when one of these Jews bought one of my bagels, I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoynu Lashem Ki Tov, I sold another bagel. And when I would wrap them up and send them off, I went back. I would scream, Baigala, Baigala. I would say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please. And I was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the entire day. And I miss it. I miss that. So I want to go back. So Megala Mukai said, I don't know what he said to this Jew, but he said to the Jews of Krakow that if you have such Jews in our town, I'm staying. And that's what we hope will happen over the course of Rosh Hashanah. Over the course of Rosh Hashanah, we will realize that we're turning to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. Kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, looking for every opportunity to ask and to thank the Ribono Shel Olam. And that will spill over the course of the entire year and every Shmoneh Esrei. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu will respond like the Megala Mukais, that if that's how my children connect with me, then of course I'm staying. I'll reveal myself and bless all of us. Sheshem Yimalei Mishalos Libeinu Letova, that we should merit this mission of Rabbi Akiva. Kedei Shetamlichuni Aleichem. And by doing so, Kadosh Baruch Hu will respond and give us every opportunity to announce His goodness to all of us, in good health and in good times, Shema al-Achsiv, Achsiv HaTomah, a good convention.